You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.
Well, hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Body Modification Extreme, and this is Loveline Sex Talk.
What is the name of this show? Can you clarify?
We need to go back. Let me introduce my fabulous co-hosts. I don't know your pseudonyms tonight.
Peter.
Peter?
I'll be Lance.
Like Lance?
Oh, okay, maybe I'll be Mark Thrust, okay?
You should be Lance and Boyle, right? So...
I will play the Ed McMahon to your oh so suave Johnny Carson.
Well, that'll be excellent. And I wish I could do a Johnny Carson imitation. I could do that Karnak thing that he does, and that would be really funny, right? But God, my microphone keeps drooping. Anyway,
that's a common problem among many men as they get older. I really don't think you should feel.
I actually think that I am experiencing age-related erectile dysfunction. I'm serious.
Well, tell us about it.
I'm 33 years old. 33.
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 33. What? And, you know, it used to be. I mean, I have a small penis. I've accepted that. But I don't think this is related to the size of my penis. It's drooping still.
You could. You could use this mic instead.
Oh, okay. So the thing is that used to be I used to get erections all the time. I mean, I had this problem where I would, like, not be able to control my erections. I would get them in embarrassing times. You know, like, everybody, like, when they're in eighth grade.
Right, go do the math problem on the board, and you want to bring the book up with you.
Right, but everyone's used to that. But even in, like, college, you know, if I was taking a shower with the guys or whatever, there would just be these unbidden erections, and they'd be, like, very embarrassing, although it's stupid because, you know, it happens. So, I mean, it's not like... It's so automatic. It doesn't really mean that you're sexually attracted to somebody. It just means that you're being a freak.
Or that you need to pee.
Right, exactly. So, but there have been times when I've, you know, I can't, those don't happen anymore. Not only do I not get accidental erections, but I can't even will an erection anymore. I mean, I have to be in a very sexual situation, or I have to be manually, like, rubbing my penis for a while before the whole process begins.
That's interesting. I noticed that as I've gotten older now, I'm 30, so maybe...
You're younger than I am.
Yeah, maybe this is what I have to look forward to. You just retroactively downgraded my looks, didn't you? wait, you're that young and you look like that?
Well, no, it's just that you're such a... Your stature, you're such a big person.
I carry myself well.
I just assume that you're my... You know, my superior or whatever, my elder.
I'm not going to take the easy shot. I understand exactly what you're talking about, kind of the inappropriately timed erection. And I find that I still do get them, but it's usually in a situation when I absolutely positively can't do anything about it. You know, when I'm, I don't know, piloting a plane across the Rockies or something. Driving is a...
Does that really take two hands?
The autopilot's broken.
And the only time you'd be piloting a plane really is if the pilot and co-pilot had been killed and you had to rescue the passengers.
Right.
And you'd indeed be operating all the instruments and talking on the radio and
connected
to ground control.
But driving, it tends to happen a lot for some reason.
You get an erection while driving.
But that, and I don't, maybe this is connected to, like, you know, being the whole car as a big, I ride a motorcycle and,
I'm sorry.
And I got into an argument with someone once who was saying, you know, that a motorcycle is just this big metaphor that I just didn't realize that the whole reason I was into it was that subconsciously I thought it was a penis. And I had to correct this person. It happened to be a woman, but I was saying, no, it's not subconscious at all. I ride down the road thinking, wow, I'm on this huge dick with a big engine in it, and I'm speeding down the road. So the fact that I still get these while driving could be connected to that. But I definitely don't get them just walking down the street, which, you're right, when I was in college and when I was younger, I certainly did all the time.
Do you think it's a question of the imp of the perverse, in the same way that when we stand on top of a building and know that we can fall, that's when we have the urge to throw ourselves off the building?
That's interesting. So in other words, I mean, I'm wondering if you're saying what I was thinking, which is that you only get erections when you absolutely shouldn't, like when you know it's going to be embarrassing or when you know it's just going to be a real problem.
Be.
This is kind of...
Because that in itself is exciting?
This is feedback
perhaps.
That happens. It's kind of like, what's that Japanese character's name? Kachumi? You know, the Japanese...
Is this some weird-ass Pokemon thing?
Or... Yes, yes, exactly. Okay. The Japanese character that caused epilepsy and all those...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't remember the name of the character, but someone told me that the reason these flashing lights in the cartoon caused epilepsy is there's actually a literal feedback loop in your brain, and, you know, you watch the flashing, and it's just... And like any sort of positive feedback loop, eventually something breaks, and you have a seizure.
Now, I'd like to ask a question. When you get these erections, which we've already established happens less and less often.
Yes.
Well, I find that it's usually effect and cause. In other words, it's not that I'm thinking about some, you know, object of my affections and then I get the erection. It's more like I get it. And then it's like, wait, I've got this erection. I should probably be thinking about sex now or something like that.
You want to take it out for a spin, even if only in
your mind. Test drive.
Well, I don't know if you're asking me that question.
Yeah,
for me, it's nothing like that at all. It's more like, I mean, it doesn't even happen anymore, but when it used to happen, it's more like I'm in the shower. It's like, oh, God, I'm getting an erection. What am I going to do to stop thinking about this erection? La, 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 erection. And, you know, once you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, when I say to you, you know, afternoon delight or angel of the morning, like I say a song and you're not going to be able to stop thinking about it for the rest of the night, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same sort of thing. It's like erection, erection, I don't have an erection. And so, I mean, you know, you turn the shower water on cold and that's even more stimulating somehow because it's like...
You don't have any old dependable turnoffs like your mother naked on a cold day, something like that?
Well, that's actually one of my biggest turn-ons, but I guess something like that you'd think would work, but I don't think I have any like that. I mean, do you?
Well, there's the old cliche of thinking about baseball.
Basketball. Yeah. You know, I read that in a book one time. It must have been like a Judy Blume book or something like that. And to this day, I still do that, even though I don't think I ever think about baseball or basketball under any other circumstances, really, because I'm not a big sports fan. So it's probably assumed some kind of sexual connotation in and of itself.
You think, given the superior marketers behind those professional sports, that that's a niche they haven't yet exploited yet? Yet another way to push product.
That's true. That's true. So is this the only age-related, I mean, we're assuming it's age-related, sexual dysfunction you've had, or are there other things that come to mind?
Let me just push that question on the stack for a minute, because I just wanted to point out that you made me forget. That's the other age-related problem I have, is that I can't remember anything anymore.
I don't know what you were going to say. If I knew what you were going to say.
Oh, yes, now I remember. The thing I was going to say was I think it's actually really potentially very bad to suppress your erections because you're teaching your brain to, like, you know, you're altering your entire neural circuitry and you're giving yourself negative feedback. Erections are bad. This is probably why I'm having erectile difficulty right now, is because I'm ashamed of my erections. I mean, I think every erection, you know, is a blessed gift.
The older you get, the more blessed it's going to seem.
We should have a society where, you know, we revere the erection and we celebrate it whenever it occurs. But alas, we do not. So
I'm not so sure about that. I'm just not so sure we revere other people's erections as much as we revere
Yeah, there
our
are
own.
Times when, despite my best intentions, I just don't want an erection being waved around in my face. You know,
oppressor.
Like what times?
The phone number is
lunchtime, usually
268-WRCT or 621-WRCT if you want to get in on the fun.
Unfortunately, the phones are not working yet due to a station technical overhaul.
I'm so sorry.
But if you do call,
I'm full of shame.
Our talented producer will be happy to relay the messages to us.
Actually, I think they're working now.
They're working?
I was told that they were working.
No, there's actually no phones in MCR to get the patch through.
Okay. Well, we shouldn't descend into jargon anyway.
Interesting. I was going to ask, I don't know if our fabulous producer is listening. I don't think she is. But, like, do women have some kind of physiologically corresponding...
You read my mind.
I'm sorry. I promised I would never use my telepathic powers in this timeline.
Or evil.
but sometimes I forget. So is our fabulous producer listening? Fabulous producer, do women actually have any physiological analog to the accidental erection, like... When you were in eighth grade,
over lubrication, or
were you like
is that what it?
She's nodding her head yes. I guess she has no ability to communicate with us.
Yeah. Up here she comes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you guys
can.
Hear me? Okay, yes. It does happen, but sometimes not in the way that you would expect it to, like on airplanes.
Ooh.
So do we or do we not expect it to happen on airplanes?
What happens on airplanes?
Well, the sort of the vibration of the plane and everything, like if you're in a position like riding a bike or something when you're in.
Well, what's the response is what I'm asking. What's the physiological analog? Because I'm ignorant about your trip, I gotta say.
Well, you're not. Are you familiar with the female anatomy in any way?
Basically, okay. Basically, yeah, I could probably.
You're familiar with what happens when women get excited, then I guess. Or are you?
They don't get excited in your presence.
Usually, they tell me to get the hell out.
Well, they tend to become moist. Things become a little looser.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so kind of just heat and moisture, engorgement.
Yes.
Good
yes.
word.
Yes. Generally. Huh.
But okay, so now, there's the key. Am I speaking too loud? I feel like I'm pegging the meter or something.
No, actually, you're not.
Okay, sorry. But the key here is that is a response to stimulation, and I'm wondering, in the male version, when you're in eighth grade English class and you're doing something completely ridiculous, you can get a spontaneous erection.
Well, there's no physical. I mean, there's no outward manifestation of that. Girls probably go through the same hormonal surges that boys do, but there's no way of.
Well, but you could get this kind of engorgement or this lubrication thing happening just spontaneously.
And also, maybe this is a psychological thing. As a guy, you could have the world's smallest penis. Yet in eighth grade or whatever, you are convinced that everyone in the universe can see it when you have this. I mean, do women feel the same way?
Well, they know full well that nobody's going to see anything. So, no, I don't think so. But I mean, there's the same kind of flustering, kind of embarrassment. Like you don't have like proper control of yourself. I mean, that happens.
Huh.
But I mean, girls don't have the same social fear of everyone seeing them actually do anything because there's not anything that can really be seen.
Hmm.
So I don't think we experience quite the same anxiety about it that you do.
Intriguing.
Hmm.
So thank you. So in answer to your other question, I don't think I'm having any other age-related disorders, except that I'm getting sort of lazier. During the sex act, I'm much more liable to just be like, oh, let me just lay here and you can just do me. Right? And so I try not to be that way because, you know, after all, it's important to give as well as receive.
What time do you like to have sex of the day? Other than any. I mean, do you have a preferred...
Well, see, this is...
Because I'm a morning person myself.
Really?
And most of my partners have tended to be evening people. And, you know, late at night, frankly, I'm generally ready to sleep. And I want to, you know... whereas in the morning, the evening people are like, oh, I feel horrible. Don't
look. Do you think you could work out some sort of timeshare? Perhaps, where they do the work in the morning and you do the work in the evening?
I've never thought of expressing it quite that way. We tend to meet on neutral territory, you know, late afternoon sometime, just show up. But, what time are you?
Well, so that's why it's interesting that you should say that. See, my significant other, my so-called boyfriend, is a sex pig, and he'd be perfectly happy.
Excuse me, a sex what?
Sex pig.
Okay.
It's a technical term. And he'd be perfectly happy having sex four times a day, every day. I mean, which would be no problem. Whereas I'm not a. I don't know what the opposite of sex pig is. I'm sort of a sex, you know.
Sloth.
Sex snail.
Exactly. Ooh. So, our sex drives are sort of different that way, and so this is actually sort of a problem. Like I had the same problem. Like when it's late at night, I'm actually tired. You know, I had this. My typical pattern is to go home after a day of serious breakthroughs in the field of computer science, go home kind of tired, you know, eat something, watch a couple hours of TV, and then just, like, go to bed. And then at that point that he, like, jumps on me, and I'm like, leave me alone, I want to go to sleep. And he's like, no, we must have sex. And so you can imagine sometimes that is not optimal. But then in the morning, I'm not a morning person either, because, like, when I'm in the morning, I'm like, must get to work, you know, must not waste any time, must proceed according to the algorithm. So, you know, in some sense, actually, I think I'm the middle of the day person. Like, if I could go home and then just have a little, you know, midday afternoon delight, if you will.
There's no possibility of delivery to work, so to speak.
I guess, you know, I guess it actually would be possible. I could drive. He works in our shared home. So he works at home, so I could go home, or he could...
For lunch.
Go home for lunch, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And then you'd get to take your midday siesta afterwards.
That's right. Maybe that would be the key to...
True. Or if one thinks of sex in therapeutic terms as a productivity-enhancing measure.
I think this is a fabulous idea. What are those noises? I think this is a fabulous idea. I think this could be a new breakthrough for me. Sorry. I don't know what those noises are. Maybe that's
Can I address this question of age as well, though?
Yes.
I am 29, and sexual response does slack off with age. I think that's an undeniable truth of the human experience. So
of the male human experience.
Of the male human experience. Thank you. So I wouldn't be particularly worried about it.
But 29, I mean, you have decades of lifespan in front of you, presumably. I mean, that seems sort of tragic to be talking about it now. I mean, you don't start popping Viagra, presumably, till you're like 50 or 60.
I have
right?
to tell this story. I was recently in New Mexico, and to get there, I went through El Paso, and I had a free day, and I said, let me cross over into Juarez.
But did you cross over physically, or is this a spiritual
cross over physically? I walked across the bridge into Juarez, Mexico, and like 5 steps from the bridge is a pharmacy. And they're selling all this great stuff, Prozac and Xanax, you know, all over the counter. Yeah. And they were also selling Viagra, which I really regret that I didn't buy any. I should have bought some.
Yeah.
But they had a little sign, and it said, Viagra, and it, like a handwritten sign. And then in quotes, make a good first impression. So just for that alone, I really should have bought it.
Oh my gosh.
But people are, like, popping Viagra now, like not even, you know... The impression I've always gotten is it's for people who have kind of this chronic impotence.
Actual erectile dysfunction.
Right. Whereas it seems, I mean, it seems like everyone except me has been taking it like it's, oh, you know, I'm going to get lucky tonight, so therefore I'm going to pop a Viagra now. Whereas, I mean, I haven't, have either of you tried this?
No. I want to know the people who are so sure of their sex lives that they can arrange and plan ahead 4 or 5 hours.
This is probably just drug company propaganda, but I was under the impression that you shouldn't take it if you're, like, normal because you might have some kind of problem. Like
some kind of super erection.
Right. I mean, exactly. Like, you know, this priapism condition is, you know, an erection that doesn't go away. It's actually a serious medical problem. You have to go to the emergency room and get your penis drained. Otherwise, bad things happen. It's not...
Which bad things would those be?
I think... If you have an erection that doesn't go away, I think what happens is that you get insufficient blood flow to your penis.
For one thing, it hurts.
I think it's more serious than that. I think it can permanently damage your little inflatable sacs so that they don't become erect properly in the future or whatever. I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor.
As long as we're on this medical, this medical binge, and we do have,
all right, I am a
we do
doctor.
Have Dr. Dr. DJ Body Modification 2000 with us. I had a fascinating experience the other night, which was I got a bona fide case of blue balls.
Oh.
Now, let me say that this offends me. I feel that, like, by the age of 30, I've earned the right to not get blue balls. It just made me feel like I was in high school all over again. So my question is, Dr. DJ Body Modification 2000, what are blue balls? What's the medical explanation for why that happens?
I will defer that question. I actually have some idea.
Well, I'd like to hear what the ideas are, even if they're wrong.
It has something to do... I mean, it has some... I thought it had something to do with your little testes producing fluid and sperm or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some kind of, like... So, when you have an ejaculation, like, the creamy, milky semen comes from one gland, and the fabulous little sperm cells come from some other, from mm-hmm. your testes, presumably, and they mix, and then they spurt out. And my impression was the blue balls phenomenon was, you know, one organ or another was anticipating an ejaculation that wasn't happening, and so there was some kind of fluid buildup. But I'm not really
that would make sense,
that
though.
Clear
I mean, that
on
does
it, frankly.
Kind of makes sense. Lance, do you have any ideas?
Maybe we've got a caller. Do you know if you have...
Some doctor is really offended by your
621.
No, I will say the focusdom is some sort of repetitive impact injury.
What? Well, okay, so we're talking about the blue balls, which comes from, like, spending all night with some sexy babe and...
Or guy.
And not... And so being aroused, being like aroused for 8 hours and then not having an ejaculation, just being in a state of continuous arousal.
That you can't ejaculate from then?
Well, then you're not allowed to because the babe is not giving. I mean, she's teasing you. But not
we're putting
going,
a whole bunch of social context
not,
into
not going all the way.
So let me see if I get this straight. This is just a name to describe the condition where you're aroused, but well, if your partner isn't helping you out the way
she okay, where DJ Body Modification 2000 didn't get to is you're aroused for several hours, you don't ejaculate, and then the next thing you know, you turn around and your balls ache as if someone's put them in a vise. That's what I'm referring to.
Right, and that's what I'm referring to. I mean, I've had this happen. I mean, imagine like in high school, you're at the minister's house, you know, he's away for a few hours, the daughter lets you go to like third base, but not all the way, right? So, you know, you're making out on the couch for hours, but you don't get to finish. Now, you know, what would Dear
Abby... Have you never had that happen?
I'm afraid not.
I'm really...
You lucky...
Jeez.
Oh. Wait. This has happened. Our fabulous producer has a comment on this that I just have to hear. For a minute, I thought you were trying to say that it happened to you, and I want to know how.
Well, no, I did it to somebody once without even meaning to. It was horrible.
Did you feel really bad?
Yes.
You should have felt awful.
It was completely unintentional. I did feel awful.
So
wait, how? Explain exactly how it was intentional. Was it?
No, it wasn't intentional.
How it was unintentional.
Not intentional. But I was told later that if you masturbate, that it helps alleviate the pain.
Well,
one would hope so.
I actually don't know that I agree with that. I think there's basically like a window of opportunity. If he were to have gotten up after maybe half an hour, excused himself, and gone to the bathroom and done it then, maybe.
Right.
But once it starts hurting, pretty much all you can do is kind of lie in a fetal position and moan. And
I'd like to go back to the unintentional aspect of this. Did you not know what you were playing with?
We need to be painted a vivid word picture. So, like, how did this happen?
Well, it's when I first started dating someone, and we weren't going all the way yet. We weren't having sex, but we were getting very close to that point. And it was one of those things where you're not really sure if you really want to do it yet or not, so we were doing everything but that.
Let's bookmark that thought, but okay. Proceed.
So, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So,
sure, girl.
Yeah. No.
Hey,
I am completely down with you, fabulous producer.
You need this perspective on your show, mister.
I've been ready to go all the way since I was like 12. There was no like, I'm not sure if we should.
No, I'm sorry, because I'm a pig in bed, and I know that once I go all the way, I'm pretty much ready to like either roll over and go to sleep or just leave.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm very much into the prolong it as long as possible, and I view it as a failing of me as a guy that I'm going to end up in pain because of it.
If you really like somebody, then you don't want, and you're afraid of them having that attitude exactly, then you want to like make sure that this person's not going to just get up out of bed and leave somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's where the uncertainty comes in.
Prolong it.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, so please continue with your story if you...
Well, so, right, so we were having like... Well, I don't know. How graphic do you want me to be?
As graphic as we legally can be.
Just this side of the line, basically.
We were having oral sex, but not enough to actually ejaculate in his case. So.
No, wait a minute. Okay, now I have a question. Was that a conscious decision? Was it in the sense of, well, I don't want him to come?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was just it didn't happen.
Right.
Well, that's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
so, I mean, I think it was wasn't really thinking clearly about it at the time, but it did happen, and I felt terrible about it.
So I think men's reaction to the blue balls phenomenon can be very different. I mean, for me, it's actually kind of mild. It's annoying and achy, but, you know,
I would never tell, I don't think I would ever, like, say to someone, I'm hurting. I would just kind of mumble under my breath about it, maybe quietly to myself.
And so in this case, do you have a nickname tonight, producer?
Do I? No, you can call me Kate.
Kate. Fine. Producer Kate. So this gentleman, he was in great pain afterwards, or what?
Apparently the next day, though, it wasn't an immediate... It wasn't immediate, like, when he was actually there. It was after he went home in the morning, and then...
Well, that I say is his fault, because he could have...
But as you point out, there's this window effect. I mean, once the horse is out of the barn...
Once the horse is kicking at the barn door... For however long enough. Well, did he tell you about it later? I mean...
Much later.
So it was like, okay.
Substantially later.
Okay. It's not like he came back the next day and said, I really am offended that you...
You could probably sue for that.
Pain and suffering.
No. In fact, I'd only heard of it in terms of the myth before. I had never known anyone that it had actually happened to, so it was very...
Yeah.
I was almost proud of myself in a sick sort of way.
The first time you'd hurt a man in a very intimate way.
Yeah, you shouldn't get too proud. I think that for men at least, you know, a good continuous stiff wind can probably give us a case of blue balls if we're in a situation where we can't take care of it.
Well, it was just such a strange...
Please, let's give our producer a little more credit than that.
Okay, get a little more credit.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting, though. Is there a symbol? And again, I'm going to display my ignorance of female sexual physiology.
No, I do not think there is an analog in the female case.
Not like your ovaries ache or something after a while.
No.
Well, I mean, wait a minute. See, you are a heterosexual, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
So you have some experience with the female form.
Yes. But there's a difference between having experience with the female form and, like, being able to recognize, okay, well, that's a clitoris and that's a, you know, a labia minora majora, and a difference between that and being able to say, well, I know what this feels like, and I don't. I mean, I've been assured, for example, by women that getting your ovaries knocked about is essentially the equivalent feeling to getting your balls kicked as a guy. It's just that it's not as common for it to happen to him because obviously the ovaries are better protected.
Right. Well, again, it's much more of a, like, an emotional expression than a physical outward expression, because women can get excessively irritable and horrible if they don't get what they want in that sense. Like, if you get overexcited and you don't get what you want in that case, you just turn into, like, the world's biggest pain in the ass. Like, I mean, worse than PMS.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. At least I do.
You're talking about... Oh, my gosh. I had never heard this before in my life. So let me just see if I understand. You're talking about if someone's been teasing you and sexually stimulating you and bringing you to the point of excitation and then not providing you with an orgasm, this is extremely emotionally damaging to you?
Well, no. It makes you just... It takes extreme effort for me to be pleasant to someone after that happens. Like, I just...
That explains a lot in my life retroactively.
Wow. But if that person does provide you with an orgasm, then are you pleasant to them?
Yeah, usually.
She rolls over and says, get out.
Wow.
Please.
Wow. Well, I've documented many times in the show, you know, after my own orgasm, I have a complete and sudden mood swing where I'm just like, oh my God, you know, what was I doing? What are these things attached to me, you know? My hands are all sticky with some kind of disgusting lubricant, right? And it's just like everything's a mess and I just want to, like, curl up and die. And I feel like a gutted chicken, right? But I mean, you know, before, but you know, up to the orgasm, it was all, like, totally fine. I was extremely willing participant, but afterwards it's then the shame, the wave of shame.
Look who I was just with.
Right? Oh no! Yeah, seriously. Like, where did this? What shore did this piece of trash wash up on? So I'm very, I'm at least familiar with the emotional changes that sexual
desire and fulfillment or lack thereof can bring.
Yes, thank you. 621-9728, if you're not calling in because you forgot the number, it's 621-WRCT.
I heard there was a strip love line once.
I'm not suggesting
that we do this now.
Was there?
Are we allowed to discuss that, legally speaking?
There's some probability that there was a strip love line once.
So no, you're allowed to discuss it because there was nothing sexual about it. It was simply a contract between the callers and the people on the show that when they called in, one of the hosts or the host of their choice would take off an article of clothing, perhaps a potentially very unerotic one, such as a sock, for example. So is that true?
An excellent idea. It seems like a reasonable show-wide policy, actually.
Yes, I'm actually, you know, indeed, I actually, I'm willing to take off my clothes at a moment's notice for almost.
That's what they say.
The drop of a hat. So actually, we had somebody in.
But when he puts them back on again, he's gonna look around him and say, "What shore did this trash wash up on?"
So yeah, it's actually. I mean, it's interesting. Well, so first of all, we were with someone who had done some stripping professionally, and so that person taught me at least some of the moves that you do when you're stripping. You know,
and ensure that no one got hurt.
Exactly. So for example, you know, how to sort of be demure and sort of peek over your shoulder at the audience, kind of like show something and then cover it up and then show it again.
Crucial in a radio show.
And so I did learn some tips for stripping. I mean, I actually have some body issues because, you know, I don't quite have the sort of completely studly body that I would like to have.
Okay, is this, I mean, I'm trying hard not to criticize, okay?
That's
but you bastards! No, this seems like a gay thing with me, but a gay thing generally. Gay men seem so much more sensitive about their bodies than many of the straight men I know, who are just like, oh yeah. Give me that.
Well, might that not be because gay men are judged by other men?
But that to me is like really sad. I mean,
think how the women feel.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's really sad too. I mean, I have no, you know.
So I'm a little confused like this, and maybe producer Kate can chime in here, because I agree with you. There's certainly this cult of beauty in the gay community, and it's actually a little bit tragic. I mean, you know, there is this stereotype, which is partially true, that, you know, once you're over 28, you know, you're just never going to find a boyfriend again.
28, that's exactly the cutoff point?
Well, I was being generous. It's probably
okay.
More like 23.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, like, when you're young and fabulous looking, you get all kinds of attention, and then when you're older, like, nobody can give you the time of day, even if you have an advanced degree in computer science, for example, which took, you know, well, I don't actually presently have that degree, but I'm working toward it. But
the point I'm trying to make here is you have a perfectly fine body. There is nothing wrong with DJ Bodily Modification 2005. There's nothing wrong with your body. An average woman, okay, an average, well, a fabulous woman would look at you and say, wow, DJ Body Modification 2000 is kind of built.
He needs no body modification.
He needs no body modification. He's kind of built. But you're here, and, like, you honestly believe, and I could hear it in your voice, that you're this big lump of flab, and, oh, you know, I have issues, and I look awful. And so is that, what I'm saying, is that, you know, is there someone walking around like, I think I broke him?
I'm still in control.
There's a chain of command is the wrong word that goes from feedback to desired sexual partners to opinion of self-worth, right? And the real question is that chain of command, is sort of the qualitative nature of that chain of command, fundamentally different for a gay man than for a straight man?
Ooh, you are a theorist.
He's very impressive that way. The way you encapsulate it, it's this laser-like sense of analysis that you have. It's really impressive. But, yes, the answer is, well, the answer is, see, I'm confused by this. Society is sending me two different signals. Like, I know women, like, their heads are turned by fabulous men. They're like, wow, you know, check out that dude. He's really fabulous looking. So I know, you know, Fabio or whatever, the whole Fabio effect, or, you know, the Chippendales dancers, they like that. But they also, you always see these fabulous babes with these really dumpy boyfriends. And so why is that? Is it because, why is that? You know, you would think that if the women demanded more, okay, so, like, there's a fabulous babe, I know, and she only dates incredibly gorgeous men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she rejects all the sort of average nice guys. So I have all these data points, and I don't know how to resolve them one way or the other.
I mean, I have theories, but they're probably kind of sexist, and I don't know if they're accurate or not. I'd like to hear our fabulous producer's opinion on this, but I think she's otherwise occupied.
She's trying to communicate with me in some sort of primitive
sign language. Well, if we turn to one of the most important mirrors of our popular culture, Hollywood, we can see that it's a woman's career is widely considered to be in trouble once she hits 40, whereas men like Sean Connery, for example,
Michael Douglas, for God's sake,
yes,
I mean, the most
or the oddly leathery Michael Douglas can last well into their 50s and 60s and still be considered, in some sense of the word, a sex symbol
and be paired up romantically, you know, obviously with women that are decades
where back. A woman like Faye Dunaway, who still manages to maintain some of that bitchy charm, fire, and good looks that she maintained so successfully in her career in her 20s and 30s.
Sophia Loren.
Well, Sophia Loren is an exception to that rule, is one notable exception to that rule. But the streets of Hollywood are littered with women who were stunningly gorgeous in their 20s and 30s and who can't get a role as a lunch lady in their 50s and 60s. And
even though they may look stunning now.
And they're now on the streets, like?
Yes, they're on the streets selling pencils.
I just wanted to comment that Fabio is not considered hunky by a lot of people's standards.
Oh, so, well, thank God for that. I mean, because he's...
But he's almost a caricature of a certain muscle man type, right? In the same way that Pamela Anderson Lee is almost a caricature of the pinup, right?
Maybe.
It goes too far for many people.
But Fabio just comes across with such... I think for women there's a lot to be said for...
Not being an idiot?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds cliche, but personality
Does this go back to the reason women are going out with dumpy guys and not judging people by their looks alone is that women are smarter than men? I mean, is that...
No.
Is that part of the...
Some women just want lawyers and doctors, too, and they're willing to go out with dumpy ones. If that's
or computer professionals?
Perhaps.
Well, so okay, but what about personality, too? I mean, I know a lot of couples where it was clear that the guy was attracted to the woman originally because of her looks, and it's also clear that she liked him because he was funny, right? Mm-hmm. Or because he was smart, or he was really nice, or he wasn't a jerk.
Really?
I mean, that...
Yeah.
I don't know any couples like that.
I'll have to introduce you sometime.
I know some, but I'm not going to name any names because it'll harm the guy's self-image. But those are the kind of qualities I look for in my friends. You know, funny, smart, you know, kind, and so on. But not in my sex partners. I mean, they have to be fabulous, fabulously attractive.
Well, as a single man in my late 20s, I found that the only thing the women I meet care about are making a lot of money or being in a band. If you're a guy,
yeah, the hair. Hair helps if you have long hair.
No, I controlled for that variable going from having very long hair to short hair, and it made no difference.
There's actually a lot to be said for charm in some cases, too. I've actually been duped by the cleverly tongued man who can say the right thing.
I believe we have a phone call.
What do we do with it? Can we patch it in?
We'll try.
Hi, what's up?
We're patched in.
First time caller, long time listener.
Well, wow! Well, welcome to the show. We're so pleased to have you.
Is this the Giant Eagle?
you're calling from the Giant Eagle?
Yeah, actually, I'm not. I was wondering if this was a Giant Eagle. Is this double coupon night?
I have no idea. So are you from Pittsburgh?
No, actually, I am not. I am from Part Disc, and I happen to be surfing the web, and I found about your station, and unfortunately, my guard lady has limited memory capacity. I actually can't really log on to the web. I thought I'd call in and just see what was happening. What's a nice topic?
Well, maybe you could answer this question for us. Okay, so, actually, we're having some technical difficulty hearing you too, which is kind of annoying for everyone. But what we're talking about here are what women like. It's obvious that in the gay community, physical attractiveness is the only necessary quality. It's the only important quality. But we're talking about how this phenomenon that, like, in the heterosexual community, fabulous women will go out with really ugly men for presumably other reasons. You know, this is the standard, you know, Rick Ocasek. This is the guy from
Pauline Porizkova.
Phenomenon, right?
Or he gives hope to everyone.
Or Lyle Lovett and Julie Roberts, another example.
Billy Joel and what's her name? Christy
Brinkley.
And so we were wondering, are you a heterosexual?
Wasn't what we were wondering, by the way. We were wondering, do you have an explanation for this phenomenon?
I don't know. I think women like a man who can cook.
Who cooks?
Rick Ocasek, I'm sure, is a great cook. I don't have an explanation for this phenomenon. I'm sure Rick Ocasek's really charming and is very sensitive and likes to listen to
This is interesting because the one thing that has come up more than once now is people suggested money as the factor. But in the case of, you know, Pauline Porizkova certainly makes more money than, for example, Rick Ocasek.
True. Although let us not forget the band factor.
That's
Rick
true.
Ocasek was, in fact,
That's
a rock
true.
Star.
And Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts.
Yes, and Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley.
It is important to point out, though, that Rick Ocasek's music may age better than Paulina Porizkova's breath.
Perhaps, but that does depend on pending technological developments.
You're referring to, of course, to improvements in digital audio, no doubt.
Possibly. I will note that people don't know this, but Rick Ocasek has gone on to a successful career as a producer, sort of working behind the scenes. So.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the Cars or whatever haven't really had, I mean, that whole band is washed up, right? I mean, the thing about Billy Joel is that even though his albums are terrible, he's still producing new music, right?
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb and be the sexist pig since I'm good at that. And I'm going to say that these women, these fabulous women who are dating ugly guys are looking for a partner are looking for, you know, a kind of a long-term relationship. Most of the women I know are looking for long-term relationships. Now, in the gay community, when you have people kind of hooking up on the basis of looks, are they looking for long-term relationships, or is it more just sex? And I'm not criticizing that. I'm probably jealous in some sense, but I mean, is that the difference?
Well, it's kind of both. I think they are unrealistically looking for a long-term relationship with someone who will be 19 forever and who will always be, like, really hot and attractive.
So they want the long walks on the beach and the hot, nasty action?
As a guy, I plan to implement that strategy by a series of divorces and breakups and finding someone 10 years younger than my previous partner. You know, kind of a five-year plan type deal.
See, this brings up an interesting point about what men want, because men want long-term relationships as well, but they want them with... Sorry, straight men want long-term relationships as well, but they want them with very attractive...
Young women, absolutely. I mean, so I'm not sure there's that much of a gap between what gay men want and what straight men want. The question is...
Is penis or no penis?
Yeah, why are the women putting up with the short, dumpy guys?
Well, part of it might be genetic, too. I mean, maybe these women are sensing something advantageous in the genes of that
ability to provide.
Right, you know.
There are a lot of pop evolutionary theory explanations for this observed asymmetry between the sexes. Many of them follow along those lines of being a provider, a good caretaker for the children. So, caller, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
We have an important previous question. I mean, I don't know if you had a question for him, Lance, but I certainly did. I was wondering if the caller, one of our previous topics was erections. And whether you know, like when you're in eighth grade, you would get all these embarrassing erections accidentally, like when you stood up and gave a book report. You know,
sometimes I'd get other people's embarrassing erections when you know they weren't using them.
and so I was commenting that now that I'm older, I don't really have these accidental erections anymore. And in fact, it takes a fairly exciting, stimulating kind of scenario for me to get an erection. I was wondering if you were having that problem.
Well, how old are you first?
I'm 28.
28. Okay, so you're the youngest of everyone in this conversation.
Interesting.
But still in the ballpark.
Yeah. So have you noticed a difference in your quality and quantity of erections?
The spontaneous erections really went out with ninth grade French class.
Was there a specific event?
it was an uncomfortable and embarrassing walk back to homeroom.
Can you give us details?
So some kind of...
There was something about the French language and all the pictures of cheese and beret in our textbook. I found myself really aroused every morning at 9:05 when the bell rang and I had to get up from my seat.
So it was like
wonderful long hauls of my high school back to my home room.
But do you think it was a conditioned response specifically to that French class then?
Excuse me?
Do you think it was a conditioned learned response specifically to that French class then?
I really should have gone back from our reunion and had sex.
Were you sexually attracted to your teacher of the French class?
Actually, I wasn't. It was a man, and he was not very attractive.
Okay.
Did he smoke? Did he have a beret?
No, he had sort of a hairpiece that was reminiscent of a beret.
So the hairpiece was reminiscent of a beret?
Yes.
Okay.
Were you ever busted for having an erection in French class or after French class? I mean,
busted.
Yeah, was it ever just, you know, you, people point at you and laugh or
blue balls?
Yes.
No, I always brought a book bag to class. That was my best friend. In fact, that may have been the source of my excitement. I don't know.
The book bag?
My book bag was my saving grace.
Well, what kind of book bag was it?
It's a big, heavy vinyl book bag.
Ah. Oh, my. So with lots of little kind of nooks and crannies. I mean, did you, like, actually insert your penis into the
zipper was both strangely stimulating and surprisingly painful.
Well, those two walk in tandem for many people.
Yes.
Wow. So have you ever had So you said you're a heterosexual. Have you ever had the experience of blue balls? That's another thing we were talking about tonight, was blue balls, the myth of blue balls.
Why is it a myth?
Well, the so-called myth. I think it's a reality. The reality
it's,
of blue
it's
balls.
A reality.
When will the medical establishment face up to its responsibility?
I mean, do HMOs cover blue balls, or is that still an experimental procedure?
I would love to ask that of a, you know, primary care physician.
Let's get one down here. Let's talk to the HMOs. They love PR.
But the question was, have you ever had it?
I have.
Okay, because Lance really here said that he had never had this experience, and I was kind of amazed because, I mean, I just assumed it was a common.
Well, if you knew my sex life, you wouldn't be quite as amazed.
maybe Corey's always been satisfied.
Interesting.
That could be the explanation.
Well, it's interesting that you should call me by that name. tonight's nickname is, of course, DJ Body Modification 2000. I'll thank you to remember that. But I only use the name Corey when I'm in my when I'm doing my Dominatrix work.
Oh.
So can you give an example of a situation in which you developed this syndrome of blue balls?
And French class.
We are talking in circles.
I can't cite specific instances because I've just.
But you can make it up. We do all the time.
But I am wondering whether like, how debilitating was it for you? Or I'm trying to get this idea of, like, some, for Lance here. No, you're
Peter.
He said it was extremely painful. It was almost like being kicked in the crotch, I think.
No, I said it's like having your balls squeezed in a vise.
Okay.
Mine was sort of a low-grade anguish. It started in my head and worked its way down to my balls.
Well, that would imply more of a psychological condition than an actual physiological problem, right?
It may have had an emotional basis. That's true. It hasn't happened that often.
Undeniably, the complex of emotions and physiological responses is difficult.
Yeah, I have to say the anguish usually works the other way for me. But.
Wow. So have you ever, Colin, have you ever performed any body modifications? We were actually going to talk about body modifications tonight, but we didn't really get to it. So I'm talking about surgical mods, you know, have you ever removed any of your testicles surgically?
Tongue splitting.
I only have one.
Do you have...
need to hang on to it.
Is that a joke, Colin?
That's not very funny.
We try to take people's medical conditions very seriously on the show, but do you have any piercings?
Not anymore. I had several, but no, obviously they became infected, and I had them removed.
Really? So where were these piercings?
What's that?
Where were these piercings?
They're sort of a... near my buttocks.
From a hygiene standpoint, that strikes me as a non-starter.
Actually, when I was doing the research for the body modification article, there were a number of graphic pictures of anus piercings, actually. So.
Anus piercings?
Yes.
Like, what part of your body is actually the anus? I mean, like, what was pierced?
I believe there were studs inserted just above the actual sphincter. So in the area where the skin around the sphincter was narrow enough to allow a rod to actually go through.
Oh, so there was so a stud is like a little barbell, dumbbell. It has like two little...
I don't know what was on the inside of the rectum. I only know it was on the outside.
These are sold at Walmart under the name anal fissure helper,
presumably.
I've seen those things at Walmart the for children, like my first anal piercing. I mean, I was just wondering if this was like an anal ring, like a Prince Albert type of thing.
No, it was actually the barbell. Really? You saw this at Walmart? Was it the whole kit with the mirror?
That's right. They encourage kids not to do their own anal piercings because just the angles involved are a little bit acute. But
So it's a parental supervision sort of
for grandma or grandpa.
No, I won't get into the trephining discussion. I have to say, I don't find the various genital piercings for either gender. It just, I mean, I am an incredible wuss. I really am the biggest wuss in the world. I don't find any of them even remotely exciting. I find them actually actively revolting. Like they would make my penis shrink if I had an erection. If
you saw a female who's appropriately pierced, you mean?
I have, and it just doesn't do anything
for
me.
But what if so pierced tongue presumably enhances her ability to provide you with a blowjob? Would that turn you on?
No. It's really I think of it as mutilation. I mean, and I can't.
How far does that go? Is it pierced ear mutilation?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any piercings at all, and I know that many people do this. And if a woman or a man were to ask me, you know, what do you think? I'd say, well, I think it's mutilation, and I think it's kind of silly. And
no, but my question is, so there's a line that you draw because you aren't repulsed by women with pierced ears.
I am less repulsed by cartilage, because cartilage strikes me as just somehow less dangerous, less unhealthy than, for example, a pierced tongue, which is soft tissue, which is like in
pure muscle,
pure muscle in an area which is likely to get infected. Mm-hmm. Well, for example, I have less of a problem with, like, say, a piercing in your arm, even, than I do with a piercing in your tongue.
Pierced food that you then eat? Is that a problem?
That's disgusting. You know, I have to say that I really haven't received very much acceptance from X-ray radiology techs about my lung piercing. I've been kind of disappointed at the medical establishment.
But I think you're being a little bit absurd. Piercings in those places that you described can indeed be complicated, mm-hmm. but presumably you don't have. They're fully healed by the time you would encounter the person and have sex with them.
Yes, I mean, we have the technology.
A pierced tongue is not like an open wound that's constantly like leaking fluid, and it's presumably all healed up.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying that people who get tongue piercings are bad people. I'm just saying that my perspective, it doesn't enhance the experience for me.
Right, but my point is the reason that you're turned off is actually kind of invalid because they're not. It's not infected. It's not going to infect you.
No, I don't believe that was the primary reason he gave it for me. There were two things working. There's an aesthetic dimension to it, but also there's the idea of mutilating yourself and what that says about you as a person.
There are people who cut holes in their head and say that it's fun, or I don't respect them.
Yeah, you're talking about trepanation.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not fun. It actually brings you to the next level of human consciousness.
Yeah, well, whatever.
is it a responsibility?
I mean, you have a responsibility to the race to move.
to step to the next level of global human consciousness.
Really, and a lot of people aren't brave enough to.
I think our caller's trying to get a word in edgewise.
No, I'm just chuckling.
Chuckle away, good sir.
You're not masturbating right now.
No.
Okay. Well, because
if you are, send JPEGs.
I mean, we certainly wouldn't want you to. I don't want to get in trouble for giving you blue balls. I don't want any kind of lawsuit against the studio. If you have to masturbate to release the tension, please
don't use the word fromage over the air.
Omelette du fromage.
Oh, mon Dieu.
I think we violated an FCC rule by speaking French.
No, we can swear all we want in French.
Is that true?
I checked, actually, that when I originally trained as a DJ, we can do anything we want as long as it's not in English.
Merde.
I'm not sure if Pig Latin counts. That's still pending in a court case.
So I heard that I can actually also say goddamn on the air. So long as I don't use the transitive form of that, I can say.
What do you mean, so long as you don't actually personally damn me?
I can't apply that to any particular person, but just an interjection, right? I can say goddamn. Goddamn, it's nice today.
We shouldn't tempt fate.
Anyway, I want to do. Caller, thank you for calling. You're so fabulous. I think we're actually out of time. And I hope you resolve your problem with the French people.
I don't see it as a problem so much as an opportunity.
And I'll do the station ID. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. And thank you all for listening. And please listen next week, Tuesday at 11.
Merci. Au revoir.
Bon voyage.
Gigi.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.